Well, the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the military is now in effect, and Chastity Chaz Bono is dancing with the stars. But should it matter to us as believers?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I'm not looking for these things. I'm not searching the internet to try to find a story that will somehow inflame the passions of my listeners and get you in a frenzy. No, this stuff is just everywhere. You can't avoid it. You can't avoid these issues, but we're going to talk about them in a constructive way here on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. That's askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Okay, a few questions for you before I share some of my thoughts and play some audio clips for you. Does any of this really matter? If you are a Christian, follower of Jesus, you're seeking to raise your kids in a moral environment, holding to your values that you find in the scriptures and that you find to be the best way to live. Does any of this matter to you? Does it matter to you that yesterday Don't Ask, Don't Tell was officially repealed in the military and there was the first, quote, same-sex marriage in the military and gay activists are now trying to recruit other gays into the military quite aggressively? In fact, some say, hey, the Marines, we're going to lead the way in this, as many of the Marines said it was especially a sensitive issue for them and a disruptive issue for them. Should that matter to us? Should that matter? The controversy over Chastity Chaz Bono, Dancing with the Stars, a show I've not seen, but a show I know is very popular, widely watched. Obviously, the goal in having a Chastity Chaz on the show was to draw ratings, to get people to watch. That's why they have any of their guests on, obviously. Celebrity with a professional dancer. Should we care? Dr. Keith Ablow, who's gotten a lot of flack for this, recognized psychiatrist and TV psychiatrist especially. I mean, he's professional, but he's known for his contributions in TV and working with Glenn Beck and others like that. He said it's bad. Your kids shouldn't watch the show. Are we getting worked up over nothing? And hey, the sky hasn't fallen yet in New York, and same-sex marriage is now legal. By the way, an interesting story about in Ledyard, New York, the town board fails to uphold New York Marriage Equality Act. That's published by the People for the American Way, who have a very different set of values and value systems than we do. One of the clerks refused to sign marriage licenses for same-sex couples, and the town has not properly acted on that, according to People for the American Way. And they say elected officials can't pick and choose which laws they'll follow. Of course, there'd be many other laws that if people said we can't follow this because this is unethical, others would commend them. But does any of this matter? Should we really care? And how should we be responding? What should our attitude be? I work with a circle of people that are compassionate, that are caring. Many of our grads are serving as missionaries around the world, working with the poorest of the poor, hurting people. I tell you, when I hear some of their stories of what they're doing and how they're serving, I've often broken down crying, listening. These are spiritual sons and daughters going out doing amazing things. And there was another tragic gay teen suicide. There are teen suicides on a regular basis. They're all tragic, gay, straight, or for any reason. But someone challenged me and said, okay, you know, this gay kid, he's rejected by religious right. And so I said, well, I don't know who rejected him. I said, but if he was in our midst, if our kids were in his school, they'd reach out to him. They would have befriended him, regardless of his identification. But how do we respond to these things? And do they really matter? Oh, I've got a whole lot to talk to you about today. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Does it matter? Does it matter if Chastity Chaz Bono is dancing with the stars? Is this really a bad example for kids? Let me just say this right at the outset, before we talk about the example, before we talk about does this matter, repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the military, does it matter same-sex marriage being illegal? Put the word marriage in quotes. I'll be getting into that in the next hour, God willing, on the broadcast here. But does any of this really matter? Same-sex marriage legal in New York now that the sky's not falling, life still goes on. Does this matter? Is this so important? Are we getting worked up over nothing? 866-34-TRUTH. You can weigh in on our Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. How about this story from Chicago? Gay couple to sue bed and breakfasts that won't host civil union. So I've said for quite some time that those who came out of the closet 40 years ago now want to put us in the closet, that those who want their rights respected want to take away our rights, that those who claim to be tolerant are extremely intolerant. That's what got me involved in this whole thing. This is not the kind of battle that you take on because you've got nothing else to do. This is not something that's going to get you popularity. And contrary to popular opinion, it's not something that's going to get you funding. Thank God for those of you that stand with us and help us, but this is not the way to generate funds. And I'm not some martyr here. I'm happy to do the will of God and seek to honor him and do what's right, whether it's popular or not. That's not the issue. But I'm just telling you the reality. So, from Chicago, two homosexual men who were recently united in a civil union ceremony at their Illinois home say they'll sue two bed and breakfasts that refuse to host the event. How dare they insist that a bed and breakfast host their event? Are they not allowed, as a bed and breakfast, are they not allowed to have a moral issue with that? Are they not allowed to say this violates our values? Advocates say it's part of a growing clash between religious freedom and homosexual rights. Both the Beale Mansion in Alton and the Timber Creek Bed and Breakfast in Paxton told the couple they wouldn't host a civil union. Timber Creek's owner said in an email, "We believe homosexuality is wrong and unnatural based on what the Bible says about it. The Illinois Department of Human Rights found substantial evidence that a civil rights violation was committed." How about this? Let me just, I've got a stack of things here. All right. PayPal. How many of you use PayPal when you're paying for something on the internet? That's one of the options we have. And if you're buying something from our bookstore or something like that or donating, that's an option. Well, All Out, this is a gay activist website, has launched a petition drive against PayPal, saying that various ministries that are, quote, hate ministries. You've heard of James Kennedy, late James Kennedy, D. James Kennedy, Carl Ridge Ministries. They have a new name now. Well, they've been branded a hate group. No longer deal with them. No longer allow them to be on PayPal. PayPal officially states that its users may not use the PayPal service for activities that promote hate, violence, racial intolerance, but PayPal has become a favorite payment service for the anti-LGBT extremists all over the world. I've got a friend of mine who has a ministry dealing with these issues. He's on the list now. This is outrageous. This is the type of intimidation. This is the type of manipulation. This is the type of extreme intolerance that we are facing. I'm not trying to get you in a panic. I'm simply encouraging you to wake up to reality if you have awakened to reality, to realize that this really is the great moral, social, cultural issue of our day, and that we as God's people have to stand up and make a difference. We as God's people need to determine we're going to do what's right, regardless of whether it's popular or not. We as God's people need to redouble our efforts to pray for an outpouring of the Spirit among those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, that they could meet with God and know the love of God and be transformed by him. And within the body, within the church, there needs to be a rising up of righteousness, morality. We need to get our own acts in order. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, Before we go to the phones, before we go to the phones, I want to play just an excerpt from Bill O'Reilly, excuse me, and Dr. Keith Ablo. Bill O'Reilly is conservative. Fox is conservative, but in many ways, because there's not a biblical base for the conservatism, Fox, well, the whole network is certainly not conservative, but Fox News, in certain ways, is not biblically conservative. And Megyn Kelly really went after Keith Ablo, you know, saying it's hate and so on. So Bill O'Reilly is talking to Keith Ablo about Chastity Bono being on Dancing with the Stars.
Personal story segment tonight. As you may know, the daughter of Sonny and Cher, Chastity Bono, has undergone a sex change, is now a man, Chaz Bono. And Mr. Bono is getting all kinds of publicity, even appearing on a dance program. Now, that doesn't sit too well with Dr. Keith Ablo, who wrote, quote, "I advise parents not to allow their children to watch episodes in which Chaz appears," unquote. Well, that has raised the ire of some, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly. Dr. Ablo joins us now from Boston. So what is the objection? You don't want the parents to let their kids watch Mr. Bono. Why?
Well, Mr. Bono is doing more than dancing. He's on a campaign to mainstream transgenderism. And I have to care more about America's kids as much as I do about my own kids. And so here's the thing. We know, Bill, people model their behavior after one another. We wouldn't invite people with anorexia to go on fashion shows and talk about how wonderful they feel now that they're thinner and how they want more liposuction. This is an exact parallel. We have somebody who is not a man asserting that he is a man. And the bottom line is that this can kindle people who are having trouble with their identities, adolescents, tomboys, boys who are effeminate, into thinking, you know what, maybe I'm not just those things. Maybe I should go the whole way. After all,
okay,
look
but
at
tell
Chaz.
Me.
All right, so let me jump in. What do you think about what he said? Do you think it's going to have that type of potential effect? You think maybe a kid that's a little uncertain about their gender identity, maybe it's just a passing phase, maybe they'll think, hey, I could be like Chaz, and this is cool. And by the way, when a child is born and the doctor says it's a boy or it's a girl, they're not doing a chromosomal study, are they? They are not finding out what the child is thinking. They are simply looking at the anatomy. There are some rare cases where it's uncertain. But otherwise, they do an ultrasound. They say, that's a boy, that's a girl. They're looking for a certain organ or the lack of that organ, correct? Chastity Bono, from the waist down, still a woman. And from what I remember, when a woman has a double mastectomy, that's a terrible thing. That's a grievous thing. Now we've got this person, if he went in with a bunch of men to take a shower in a locker room, they'd say, what are you doing in here? Because from the waist down, he's still a woman. And here's someone we should be having compassion for. We should be concerned for. We should say, obviously, this person's gone through a lot. Is it true? I've read this a lot on the internet, but I don't know if it's accurate. That Chastity, Chaz, said when a child that she was sexually abused by a lesbian babysitter for a number of years. Is that just hearsay? If it's true, all the more you say, okay, this person is struggling with their identity, and there are many people, it's documented, after sex change surgery are still depressed, are still suicidal, still have other issues. Why are we celebrating this? And it's not to pick on the person. My heart, everyone that I've talked to about Chastity Chaz, their heart goes out to her. Their heart goes out to her, and they feel pain for it. They're not bashing in any way, in any way. But I personally believe, and I'll get your take. In fact, we'll get right to your calls on the other side of the break. And I also want to take your calls, those who differ with me. June in Baltimore, I want to hear your perspective on Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the military. You've got a different take. I absolutely want to hear what you have to say, and I will certainly give you a hearing. But I, many of you know my story. I was a heavy drug user from the ages of 14 to 16. Why? I was raised in a wonderful home on Long Island. My mom and dad is as loving a couple as you'd ever meet, as happily married a couple as you'd ever meet, as affirming to me as a child as any kid could want. I did not live in the inner city in a drug-infested area. This is completely foreign. So why was it at the age of 14 I started smoking pot? Was I searching for the deeper meaning of life? No, not at all. Was I going through some personal crisis? No. Was there a breakdown within our family? Not at all. I started playing drums when I was 8. I went to my first rock concert when I was 13. I saw Jimi Hendrix in concert. I wanted to be like the rock stars. I was becoming a good drummer for a kid, and I wanted to be like the rock stars. And that's what they did. They got high. They did drugs. They rebelled. And I thought, you know what? I'd like to do the same thing. I was influenced by the role models in front of me. I wonder how many others will be influenced. Think I'm crazy? Fine. Tell me about it. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, here's a story from England. Lesbian couple suffer honeymoon hell. Having tied the knot in a white wedding, a lesbian couple thought the icing on the cake would be a traditional honeymoon along with other young couples. But the trip turned out to be a nightmare after staff at their resort treated them as if it was not a real honeymoon and excluded them from special romantic meals and dances. Gemma Harmon and Tamsin Harper said it was the worst 2 weeks of their lives, and the homophobic manner in which they were treated was disgusting. Okay, if people were cruel to them, mean to them, said ugly things to them, that's wrong. But you listen, you're going with other couples who just got married, celebrating their marriage together, going on a honeymoon together, and here, you know, doing special romantic things together with couples and so on. They're not expecting two women or two men because that's not marriage in their eyes. And to think that everyone has to accept that, and if they don't, they're homophobic, that's just wrong. That's just wrong. You don't redefine the most foundational institution in the human race, and something that is the most natural thing in the human race for man and woman to come together as one, and if someone doesn't embrace that, and you want to go on a special honeymoon outing with other couples, heterosexual couples, and you think they're just going to accept it, and you're surprised that they don't. But see, that's the extreme bigotry and intolerance of the other side. Rather than saying, okay, we understand that this is very different. And we understand that we're violating thousands of years of human institutions and concepts and behavior. And we're throwing that on you and forcing you to accept that at a sacred time for you. We should be more sensitive, and we wish you'd accept this, but we understand you don't. Don't call it homophobic. Okay, to the phones, Patricia in Washington, D.C. Thanks for calling.
Well, yes, I appreciate your, I agree with pretty much everything you always say, and I wanted to comment on Chastity Bono, and I'm glad you brought up the fact that she's kept her vagina and insists on being called a man. And it's my understanding that some of these transgender don't want to have surgery below. They want to keep their penis or whatever, vagina, and still be called a man or a woman, because it's supposed to be how they're perceived as the waist up. And that's going to be the next big thing pushed on us, forced on us to accept it. And basically the gay rights movement is just totally out of control.
It's one thing to say a man's attracted to men, and that's natural for him. A woman's attracted to women, and that's natural for her. And we say, well, we don't think that homosexual practice is moral or right. And they say, well, this is who I am. We sit down and have a discussion. And then someone else says, I'm struggling. I have this concept that I'm a woman in a man's body or a man in a woman's body, and I'm really struggling with this. I've struggled with it all my life. Well, of course, you have compassion. You sit down and talk. But now the person has sex change, they're on hormones, they have partial sex change, as you say, you know. I mean, theoretically, Chastity could go off her hormones and through artificial insemination conceive and have a child and then be another, quote, pregnant man This is insanity. It is absolute insanity. And we're just supposed to say, oh, great. We celebrate that. Great.
Well, you know,
Dancing with the Stars. We celebrate that. Come on.
She's basically turned herself into a freak almost, you know. I hate to say it. I mean, I do have compassion, but and little kids are going to be, they're going to be taught from real young ages that's normal and natural to do.
Right. And what about a family where the kids are old enough to, you know, maybe you've got older kids, younger kids, and some say, I remember that was chastity. Isn't that chastity? What happened to chastity? Well, chastity's chaz now. You can just change. I mean, it introduces discussions that you really are not prepared to have with young ones that don't even understand sexuality. So, again, by all means, our heart goes out to chastity. We pray for her wholeness. If I was taking a guess, I would guess that there is not complete peace in this life right now and complete sense of I've arrived. You know, let's give this some years as well. But even if she said now I'm happy as Chaz, it doesn't change the fact. Hey, Patricia, thanks for weighing in. What's mind-boggling to me is that to differ with the fact that a man, someone claims to be a man with women's sexual organs from the waist down, and said, well, I thought I was a lesbian, but now I've realized I'm a man, heterosexual man trapped in a woman's body, but my girlfriend doesn't matter because she's bisexual. And we're supposed to say, oh, isn't that great? Okay. Tell you what, June in Baltimore, stay with us because I want to give you a little more time to weigh in. We'll do that the other side of the break. Julie in Boston, what's your take on this?
Well, let me just tell you, as a mother of five, I definitely don't allow my children to watch, you know, the primetime TV, but definitely I wouldn't allow them to see that. You know, I have a 12-year-old who's very inquisitive, of course, so I just am not going to expose them to that. And as a Christian, I think that, you know, it's my responsibility to kind of teach my children that we've got to pray. We've got to pray for people who are just lost, who are confused. And it's so sad in our society, and this is so simple, that the more we take God out of everything, the scarier society gets.
Yeah, it's the truth, isn't it? And it starts with us in the church, taking God out of our own midst and just having a form of religion. And, you know, Julie, we should look at chastity and say that it's confused.
By the way, I
haven't watched Dancing with the Stars, but I imagine it's not the best family-friendly show anyway. It's probably pretty sensual dancing and stuff.
Not at all.
Yeah, go ahead. We're up against a break, but was there one more thing you wanted to say?
No, that was it. I appreciate you taking my call.
All right. God bless you, Julie. Hey, remember, we're coming to Massachusetts October 5th to the Boston area, so I hope to see you there. All right. Remember, all this week, our special resource offer, which has gotten a great response from you, our listeners. I think it's really, really important teaching. 24 hours of teaching for just $20, so it's half price, plus we're paying the postage, so you save over 50%. And it's 12 hours on the spiritual world. Are there demons? Are there angels? How do demons infiltrate? Can believers be demon-possessed? What about that? And what is spiritual warfare? How does that work? We're not fighting people. There's a devil that wants to destroy everybody. He hates gays. He hates straights. He hates whites. He hates blacks. He hates Jews. He hates Gentiles. That's our enemy. How do we deal with him effectively? Really practical, biblically-based teaching. Two complete series for just $20 on two CDs for your computer or your MP3 player. And we'll pay the postage. But call us today at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. That's also the number to call if you want to hold our hands up and stand together to make a difference. 1-800-278-9978 or online, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. You'll also find other links to free resources relevant to today. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. As always, let's stand tall for what is right. As always, let's look in the mirror and say, am I being a representative of wholeness and soundness and truth?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Some months ago, my dear friend and debating partner, Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, wrote an article about me, but about evangelicals, saying that we were, quote, obsessed with homosexuality. And I said, it's gay activists who are obsessed with homosexuality. This is who they are. This is what they're fighting for. This is the issue before them day and night. They're lobbying for it. They're influencing the media for it. They're pushing on every level about it. And I'm simply responding to the onslaught and seeking to hold our moral ground. Now, doesn't mean I'm right, they're wrong, they're right, I'm wrong. It simply means that these are issues coming our way that we have to respond to. So we're talking about some of those issues today. On Wednesdays on the Line of Fire, we focus on moral, cultural issues in particular. We've been talking about, doesn't matter, Chastity Chaz Bono on with Dancing with the Stars. Should we care? Doesn't matter now Don't Ask, Don't Tell has been repealed in the military and openly homosexual men and women can serve. Doesn't matter. Does it matter that same-sex marriage is legal in New York? Does any of this matter? 866-34-TRUTH. We're going to play a little bit more of the O'Reilly-Keith Ablo interview from Fox, and I've got a few other items I want to discuss with you. But first, to the phones, June in Baltimore, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was calling because I come at this from a completely different perspective, and I fundamentally disagree with you. I think that we should care very much that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is no longer the law or the rule in the armed services, and we should care very much that, people have marriage equality in New York, but we should care because it's important to stand up for equality. People have equal rights in this country, and whether you approve of it because of your religious persuasion doesn't matter. It's really not your business. In terms of what they do, in terms of who do people marry, but what's more important is making sure that all of us, of whatever religion or no religion, are treated equally in the eyes of the law.
All right, so let me ask you a question then, June. So a person should have the right to marry the one they love. You'd be at home with that statement?
I would be at home with the statement that, yeah, I think that
okay,
that
so if two brothers want to marry, you don't have a problem with that?
Well, yeah, I do have a problem with that. It's called incest.
But why is that a problem? You're imposing your religious and moral beliefs on them and stealing their equality.
Well, I don't know what the basis of the law is, but my understanding is that incest and polygamy are generally illegal because they can be very exploitative of
two brothers. How can that be? All right, but I could argue 100 reasons why a man marrying a man or a woman marrying a woman is not marriage, aside from the Bible. I have a friend that wrote a whole book, Why It's Wrong, without quoting the Bible. But you, two brothers, how can that be exploitive? There can be no genetic danger to their children. And mm-hmm. as for the polygamists, there's polygamy all around the world, and many men and many women embrace it. Aren't you being mm-hmm. bigoted and intolerant towards them?
Possibly. Possibly. But the point that I'm trying to make is that this is not about two brothers marrying. This is about...
No, it is. There are cases where brothers and
really
sisters
want to...
There are cases
actually...
right now in front of the courts in different countries where a brother and sister want to marry, where a father and daughter want to marry, and you are being discriminatory and bigoted towards them.
Possibly. But what I'm saying is that in this country, the people that are fighting for marriage equality are not related to each other. They are of the same sex.
But others are. Others are in this country. Others in this country are. They're related to each other. All right, stay on the line if you don't mind. We'll be back. We'll see who the bigot is. Or maybe neither of us are bigoted. We just have reasons for our beliefs. We'll see.
It It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I so appreciate it when callers call in who differ with me and are willing to articulate their positions and can have an intelligent and spirited discussion about it. So I always welcome that. I very much appreciate people calling in who differ with me. And pleased to have the opportunity to talk to one such person today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. So June in Baltimore, back to you. And again, I do appreciate your calling. So let's back up and just ask a couple of questions then to see if we can...
Actually, could I back up for just a second, too?
Please.
I sort of want to say one thing, if that's okay.
Please.
Okay. You know, any time that I speak to somebody about gay marriage, gay rights, or marriage equality and these kinds of things, the first sort of question out of the box is, well, then you must approve of, you know, marrying animals or incest or polygamy. And I really find that that's kind of a red herring. It's sort of a way of deflecting from what's going on right now.
All right, so,
I don't want to argue with you about incest. I want to talk to you about what the law, what people are fighting for right now, right here in the United States.
They are fighting for these things. See, that's why it's not a red herring, June. Let me explain why.
Okay.
Newsweek had an article recently that the new sexual revolution is polyamory. So that is multiple couples in committed relationships. So it's kind of like open adultery now, but just you got a man with two women or three women and two men, whatever. And they raise their families together. And Newsweek said there are now at least 500,000 such couples like this in America. Like it or not, mm-hmm. this is coming your way. Get used to it. Well, they're next on the docket. They're already marching. I've already read their words. They're in gay pride parades. This is fact. And they're saying we're just where the gay rights movement was 30 years ago. Time magazine had an article a few years back, should incest be legal? This is being battled in courts in Europe, and it's being battled in courts in America. So this is not a red herring. This is reality. I say you can't stick your head in the sand about this, but here's the fundamental question I wanted to ask you. Throughout human history, or any dictionary you looked at until the last couple of years, how would you define marriage? What is marriage?
Well, depends on how. Well, I mean, marriage used to be, you know, ownership of a woman.
Well, no. Just more fundamentally, if you looked when we were performing weddings for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, here in America, and around the world, what are the two fundamental things needed for a marriage?
You needed to be willing to commit your life to that person, and you needed to
which person? I guess my question wasn't clear.
The person you're marrying.
Oh, okay.
And you had to not be related.
No. You didn't. No. You're missing the fact you needed a man and a woman. Marriage was only the union of a man and a woman. Marriage has never just been the union of two people. Here, when I say A, B, C, D, I'm not doing math. When I say 2 + 2 = 4, I'm not doing spelling. Two men coming together or two women coming together is not marriage. Marriage is the union of a man and a woman. And the only reason the government...
I think that depends on how you define family. You know, one of the things one of the things that baffles me is the religious right getting all up in arms about saying that the family is under attack or marriage is under attack because two men want to marry or two women want to marry, when in fact what they're doing is strengthening family.
It's been demonstrated in various countries as well that this adds to the further degeneration of the definition of marriage. That marriage becomes...
Massachusetts has had gay marriage now for, 5-6 years?
And marriage...
And they're fine.
First thing is, hardly any gays are getting married in Massachusetts now. The numbers get lower and lower and lower because, by and large, they don't care about that. By and large, the vast majority of homosexual men and women in countries like the Netherlands or Spain or Canada or Massachusetts, when they have the opportunity to, quote, get married, they don't because it's not what they're looking for. It's a tiny, tiny percentage. That's number one. It's a fact. Check it out. Number two, when it sticks around long enough, marriage as an institution becomes less and less important. People care less and less about it. But here's the bottom line. Why should the state get involved in our private affairs? Why does the state even get involved with the issue of marriage? It's because marriage conveys benefits on the state, and so the state conveys benefits on marriage. And what is marriage? It's a man and woman coming together with the possibility of procreation as a general rule and the ability to tie a child to a mother and father, which is in the best interest of the society. Otherwise, let any gay couple go to any gay church they want or synagogue, have a commitment ceremony, live together, whatever they do if they're not breaking the laws between them and God. But don't redefine marriage.
I disagree. I think that if you have a family or if you want to have a family, you should be able to have a family. And since you are providing a benefit to the state should be providing benefits.
How are you providing a benefit? You can't procreate and you can't join a kid to a mom and dad. You're guaranteeing that any child you raise will either never see their mother or never see their father. That's cruel. That is terrible for children. How can you be so cruel to kids and look at this
so
selfishly?
That's not cruel or selfish. I'm talking about people who have children via insemination or people who adopt children. That's not cruel.
It's cruel
if you have two parents, or if you have a child raised by loving, caring parents, it should not really matter to you what gender the parent happens to be.
So there's no difference between male and female. There's no difference between mom and dad.
I did not say that. In fact,
so a kid
every
does not,
person that I know who has a child in a same-sex relationship has been extraordinarily conscientious about making sure that they have role models of the other gender around all the time.
But they're already getting a day and night wrong message about what gender is. And you're guaranteeing that this kid will be separated from their mother or father. That's cruel. And you're guaranteeing they'll be in an environment where they're going to grow up percentage-wise to have more gender confusion themselves, more same-sex attraction themselves, more violating of sexual boundaries themselves. This is statistically known. And girls who are raised by two lesbian mothers will be masculinized, generally speaking, and boys raised by two lesbian mothers will be feminized. That's cruel to the kids. It is such a selfish, narcissistic way of looking at things.
You would have to show me a whole lot of data to get me to believe that. I know.
Are you ready to see it? Can I send you a free book to get you started?
I will. Sure. You want to send me a free book? Go ahead.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to send you two free books, one just on marriage and one my big, fat one, A Queer Thing Happened to America. And tell you what, once you get the books and have you may not have a chance to read through all of mine, but look through mine, but read the shorter one. And then give me a call back, and we'll continue our discussion. Is that fair?
But
I need you to stay on the line now, and I've got a bunch of other people want to weigh in. But thank you for calling and disagreeing. We didn't even get to the military thing, but thank you for being passionate about your position. I hope you can see there's another side to the story.
I hear the other side all the time, but I want to thank you for being respectful and not insulting me. I really appreciate that.
No, June, I apologize for interrupting a couple of times because we both have a lot we want to say. But no insult at all. And I think from your perspective, what you're doing makes perfect sense. In other words, if you step back from a few things and look at it through a different worldview, it makes perfect sense. What I'm asking you to do is try to look at it through my worldview, because I do my best to really understand the positions of the people I differ with so that I could defend their position even if I differ with it. But stay on the line. We'll send you the material. We won't put you on any mailing list or anything like that. We'll just send you the books, and then after you have time to digest it, Wednesdays are the best day to call, or Fridays to discuss these things, all right?
Okay.
So stay on the line. Thank you. Okay. Wonderful. Well, I appreciate June calling very, very much. Let's go to Joan in Middletown, New Jersey. Hey, Joan, we'll get started, but we may have to come back after the break. But go ahead, please.
Okay, thank you for taking my call. I'm just really calling in regard to June's call, because as I was listening to her talk about marriage equality, it's really more about special rights rather than equal rights, I think, for the homosexual community. And what this puts us on really is a slippery slope, because like you even said to June, that it ends up starting you down a path of polygamy, incest, bestiality, and other things, because if these people, the homosexual community, get the special rights that they want, what's to stop everybody else? There will be no Moors anymore. There's no foundational principle, and like you also stated and articulated about the state having an interest in this, you know, marriage and having family procreating and having these children to be in a family with a father and a mother. So I totally agree with you. You really articulated what I wanted to talk about when you got into it with her. I thought she was intellectually dishonest, though, when she refused really to answer your question about the definition of marriage, when she would not say years and years, hundreds and hundreds of years, it's been what two things were needed.
I'll give her the benefit of the doubt that she just didn't get my question right. But otherwise, yeah, that's a pretty hard one to miss. Thanks for weighing in, Joan. I appreciate it. Back with more.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Boy, I need to have June call in more frequently. A ton of you want to weigh in, interact with her comments, or interact with me. Take her side, differ with me. But please, any of you listening that differ, I really do welcome your calls. 866-34-TRUTH. The idea that marriage in the past was ownership, a man owning a woman, try marrying a Jewish woman. doesn't work too well. All right. I'm thoroughly happily married to my Jewish wife of 35 years. All right. Jennifer in Boston. Oh, we lost Jennifer. I wanted to talk to someone in Massachusetts. Let's go to Leroy in Houston. Hello, Leroy. You're on the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Go ahead, please.
Oh, yeah. Yes, how you doing, sir? Yeah, I'm just listening into the conversations we've been having, and I totally agree with you. You know, the Bible itself says, you know, man and woman, Adam and Eve, you know? And it's just like the previous caller was talking about, you know, where's the limit going to be? You know, first you want to marry man with man, woman with woman. What's next? Can I marry my pig or something like that? You know?
In the next hour, actually, I'm going to share an article that I wrote, posted on Town Hall, which is called The Man Who Married the Goat. It's absolutely not to compare these in any way, because in one case, you have two loving individuals that want to make a commitment to each other. In the other case, and I'm talking about whether it's two men or two women, or man and woman, they're still saying the same thing. We want to commit to each other. We love each other. But the fact of the matter is, marrying a pig or marrying a dog is no more marriage than a man marrying a man or a woman marrying a woman, because marriage is the union of a man and woman. Once we understand that, then we realize this has nothing to do with civil rights. This has to do with the definition of marriage. Hey, thanks for weighing in, Leroy. I appreciate it. Mary in Queens, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. My name is Mary, and, you know, I listen to your show all the time, Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. And I noticed your call today, the caller that you were on the line with. I just wanted you, well, I know she's off the line now, but if anyone else has any ideas that are similar to hers, I would just like you to ask, you know, them one question, and that is, well, it's actually kind of like a question and a statement also, because... Mm-hmm. If you notice in nature, there is no one, whether you are straight, whether you are gay, whether you're green, purple, or whatever you are, we all have a mother and a father. There is no one that has been in this world, that has come into this world naturally, or even in a test tube, that has not had a sperm from a man and eggs from a woman.
And, you know, Mary, you know what's happened now with some sperm donors, and this can be with heterosexual couples or homosexual couples, some of these sperm donors now have as many as 150 offspring. I mean, the whole thing is messed up.
Oh, that's terrible.
The whole thing is terribly messed up. And I know that there are couples out here, and they're saying, look, you don't know what we went through. My husband was infertile, and there's no way. This is the only way we could have a kid. And even though it's someone else's sperm, it's still part. It's the mother now. It's better than an adopted kid. I know I know what their position is. But the fact is, this is insanity. The whole thing is messed up. And now you have this situation where, what, there's a guy with 150 children, and you realize this is not, you can't even call them children. But you're absolutely right. It takes the male and female component 100%. Hey, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. Steve in Manhattan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown.
Good afternoon.
I would just like to offer an alternative point of view.
Please.
I am a devout Christian. I believe the Bible from cover to cover. But I feel that there's a lot of mystery in life. And I'm not going to condemn Chaz Bono for something that she has, you know, had an internal conviction since she was a little kid, because I don't understand what's going on there. And whether there's a genetic component or not, nobody knows. So, and the only answer to that type of person is the gospel and salvation. I don't think it's molding, try to mold people into a particular moral perspective, you know, and as if going after one sin, you know, is what Christians are called to do. I think that, and I have no problem with the military. If they want to marry gay, fine. I'm sure they can still be good soldiers. You know, I'm not out to, you know, mold society into my religious perspective. I'm out.
Can I just ask one thing, Steve? Certainly, I agree that Chastity Bono needs the gospel, needs to really know the Lord, and will only find true and complete wholeness at that point. But when you don't have men and women bunking together in the military, showering together in the military, because they're attracted to each other potentially, and many would be embarrassed to be naked next to each other and so on. Do you realize, though, just when you put open gay men in the presence of others and you're bunking together, you're showering together, two of the guys are maybe flirting with each other, you've got all kinds of behavior that's detrimental, that's now imposing something on other soldiers that's very unfair. So I honor the fact that homosexual men and women want to serve in our military. But the idea that they are now going to impose that on everyone else is to me terribly unfair and terribly detrimental.
But isn't it an imposition on the person who is homosexual, right, to have them to live a secret life in the military? I mean,
because it's no more an imposition of that than to have men and women separated. There's attraction. There's a reason for it.
Well, no, in the military, they're actually condemning homosexuality and kicking people out. They were. Right.
No, because you're openly coming out and saying that this is who you are in an environment of very close relationships with men and men and women with women, where you separate men and women for reasons. If they said we want to have our own bunks, men with men and women with women, then you still have the problem because they're in places where they could be sexually attracted to each other. See, the military is separating people that would be sexually attracted for morale, for other purposes. And now it's being opened up. Hey, listen, Steve, let's continue the discussion another day because I'm out of time. But I do want to talk more. Feel free to weigh in with your perspective next time anything remotely related to this comes up. I'll do my best to get you at the top of our list. Okay, out of time. Those of you on the line, stick around. I may take some of your calls in the next hour. And a reminder again, a really important resource, 24 hours of teaching. On two CDs, we used to sell these for over $60 on cassette, then $40 on CD, just $20 today. We'll pay the postage. Angels, Demons, and Deliverance. What is the spiritual realm? What actually happens there? What about how demons infiltrate? Deception, demon possession, is that still around? Does that apply to Christians? What about spiritual warfare? We're not fighting people, but what about the devil? How do we do war with the devil? Deeply based in Scripture, 24 hours of teaching, $20, and we'll pay the postage. This is to listen to on your computer MP3 player, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978 to order. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, God has established male and female for a reason. God has established the order of marriage and family for a reason. We tamper with these things. We tamper with foundations of the human race, and it's to our harm and the harm of everyone else. Let's go back to biblical, godly foundations. Did you hear about the man who married the goat, or the woman who married the snake, or the other woman who married the Berlin Wall?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So what is marriage after all? What is marriage? Is marriage the union of two people, or is marriage the union of a man and a woman? What happens when we mess with those foundations? Should we care? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Had a fascinating discussion the last hour with a woman from Maryland, respectful, intelligent, explaining why marriage equality is the issue. If two men or two women want to marry, we should allow them for the purposes of equality. When I pressed her on other things, what about two brothers? Well, she thought that's irrelevant, that's a red herring, it doesn't matter. I said, well, no, people are pressing for these things. Father marrying a daughter, brother marrying a sister, people in polygamous relationships, to them, their rights are being restricted. We're actually talking about Chastity Chaz Bono, Dancing with the Stars, and repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, some of these issues, which I'm not looking for. They're knocking at our door. They're coming our way. So the question is, does it even matter? Should we even care? And it comes back to a fundamental definition of marriage. I'm going to talk to you about that. I'm going to take you into part of a radio debate dialogue I had with local gay activist Matt Comer, not to supplement that, because the debate dialogue itself was quite clear and simple, but to give you insight into the various positions. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And here's what I want to talk to you about. I want to share this article I wrote on Town Hall, The Man Who Married the Goat and Reflections on the Meaning of Marriage. Then there's an article that was published on Huffington Post website, so of course a very liberal website, that young evangelicals are shifting on marriage. Young evangelicals are shifting on marriage. I want to talk about why that's happening, why more and more young evangelicals are saying, hey, you know, it's really okay. It's okay if two men want to marry or two women want to marry. We'll talk about that, and then I want to tie that in with an article on Town Hall from Dennis Prager, radio host Dennis Prager, why young Americans can't think morally. So we're going to talk about a whole lot of things I think will keep your interest and inform and equip you. 866-34-TRUTH. Oh, I also want to tell you about some pressure being put, put on a school in Georgia. You need to hear this. You need to hear about the bullying that is going on against our side, against a school just acting with basic sanity, the pressure that they're coming under. 866-34-TRUTH to weigh in with the question, what is marriage? What is the meaning of marriage? And if someone says, well, how does it affect your marriage if two men get married or two women get married? How does that affect your marriage? That question comes up constantly, and there are a lot of good answers to it. 866-34-TRUTH. Shall I start this article here, The Man Who Married the Goat? Yeah, let me start. A few days ago, I received an email from a friend entitled Interesting Marriages, containing four links. The first link told the 2007 story of a Sudanese man who was caught copulating with a goat. Since the Sudanese tribal custom requires that a man must marry a woman whom he sexually violated in order to preserve her family's honor, the village leaders decided to publicly embarrass the man who had violated the goat, forcing him to pay a dowry to the goat's owner before marrying the goat. The story, which was first reported in a lighthearted way on the website of a British newspaper, drew worldwide attention, as did the subsequent report. The man was left a widower when the goat died after choking on some plastic it had swallowed. Oh, it gets crazier. But we're going to actually have a serious discussion when we come back. Stay with us.
Oh,
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Boy, during these breaks, I am feverishly typing responses to different questions and things that come up online. So it's always busy here at The Line of Fire and focusing on our next segment here. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. So I'm reading an article that was printed on Town Hall. Let me just see. Where is it here? It's up to like 470 comments in the day plus that it was posted. So good response, people interacting with it. I haven't read probably 99.9% of the comments, but just look for the total there. So said, so what's this got to do with anything? Man and married to go, oh, there's a point to this. Stay with me, 866-34-TRUTH to weigh in. So I got these four links from a friend called Interesting Marriages. The first one about a Sudanese man who, quote, married a goat. Second link from the Jakarta Globe in 2010 gave the unfortunate account of a young Balinese man who was caught copulating with a cow, but only, he explained, after the cow, which he believed to be a young, beautiful woman, had flirted with him. He was then forced to participate in a public marriage ceremony with the cow, during which he passed out. After the ceremony, the cow was drowned in the ocean, as were the young man's clothes, in a purification ritual. The third link, dating to 2005, was entitled Charm Woman Marries Cobra in India. The story reporting that a woman who fell in love with a snake has reportedly married the reptile at a traditional Hindu wedding celebrated by 2,000 guests in India's Orissa state. The woman, who was 30 years old, explained, "Though snakes cannot speak nor understand, we communicate in a peculiar way." The fourth link, from 2008, was perhaps the most bizarre of all, telling the story of a German woman who had been married to the Berlin Wall for 29 years. The woman, then 54, and whose surname means Berlin Wall in German, wed the concrete structure in 1979 after being diagnosed with a condition called objectum sexuality. Aside from the tragic comic nature of these stories, what they all have in common is that none of these unions were, in any sense of the word, marriages, despite the rituals and ceremonies performed. Marriage, we all know, is between human beings, not between a human being and an animal or reptile or wall. But is marriage simply the union of two human beings, or is it specifically the union of a man and a woman? That's the question before us. If the latter, then the union of two men or two women is no more a marriage than is the union of a man and an animal, reptile, wall, or whatever, regardless of how much the two parties love each other. In fact, there are conservatives who've asked, if a woman can marry a woman, why can't she marry her dog or horse or plant? There's even a gay activist website called Box Turtle Bulletin, deriving its name from remarks prepared for Senator John Corwin in 2004, although never spoken by him. Quote, "It does not affect your daily life very much if your neighbor marries a box turtle, but that does not mean it's right." So this question, just to get away from my article for one moment, this question, how does it affect my marriage if two men want to marry, two women want to marry? It's a completely misguided question on a bunch of levels. First thing, it's a selfish question. Why am I thinking about me? That's not the issue. The issue is the larger society. I could just as well say, if a man commits adultery, how does that affect my marriage? If it's not with my spouse, how does that affect my marriage? Or if people want to have polygamous relationships, recognized by the state, how does that affect my marriage? I could ask any, if a person's single, how does that affect my marriage? So that's the wrong question. But let's go further with it. In point of fact, it will affect your marriage. It will affect your marriage because the schools will be teaching that same-sex marriage is fine. The schools will be teaching it. I just got a note today, someone posted on Facebook, thanking me for addressing these issues and saying, check this out, saying that their nephew or niece who's 4 years old, let's just see where this is. Here we go. Fontana, California. The Family Book by Todd Parr. I'm just looking for the data here. Sorry. Dorothy Grant Ellen. Okay. Just trying to sort this out here. Here we go. 4-year-old niece in preschool came home with a book in California featuring families cartoon films with two daddies and two mommies. Well, that affects your marriage if your kid or your grandkid comes home with this. So here are the questions we need to ask. Here are the questions we need to ask. What is marriage? That's the first question. What is marriage? If marriage is the union of a man and a woman, not simply the union of two people, no matter how committed and loving the two men or the two women are, it's not marriage. It's not marriage. Any more than A, B, C, D, E, F, G is math. That's spelling. Or it's going through the alphabet. Anyway, 2 + 2 = 4 is not spelling. It's math. Second, why should marriage consist of only two parties? Why should it consist of only two parties? If we support natural organic marriage, then we say marriage consists of two people because of the uniqueness of male-female union. Otherwise, why only two? Plenty of polygamists say that marriage, one man, many women, is great. And many of the women say it's great. Third, since most Americans agree that government should have limited involvement in the lives of its citizens, why is the state even involved in the issue of marriage? Why should the state care about marriage? Get out of my personal life. Get out of my personal business. That's how most Americans feel about government, unless we need some support or help from the government. So why even care about this? Why should the government care? It's because the state conveys benefits on marriage for the reason that marriage conveys benefits on the state. Benefits being the possibility of procreation along with the ability to join a child to its mother and father. This is now a big, big debate in North Carolina, and the debate is going to be raging for some months now, because finally we have the right to vote on this. The Democratic-controlled House and Senate in North Carolina for years has refused to allow the people to vote on this. Gay activists would say, well, it's wrong for the majority to vote on the civil rights of the minority. The majority here would say this is not a civil rights issue. This is an issue of the definition of marriage. You're trying to change that. After this is the only definition we've basically known in the history of the human race, and there are good reasons for it, and you should let us vote. You should let us vote. Finally, we have the right to vote. Finally, some equality here, the ability to vote. That's coming in May, so things will be hot and heavy in the debate. By God's grace, I will be passionate about this, but as civil and gracious and respectful as I know how. 866-34-TRUTH to the phones. Jeanette in Salt Lake City, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I have a daughter who's a lesbian. She's been in a committed relationship for about 4 years now, and she doesn't necessarily agree with all of the hype that's going on about having to have it called marriage and changing the definition of marriage, but she wants the right to be able to have insurance. She would be happy with just, and I don't know if there's a difference between civil union and marriage, but I can kind of see her point of view that, you know, she doesn't get the tax credits with her relationship with her girlfriend. I mean, I'm not happy about her choice, and she knows that I'm a Christian, and she knows what I feel, but you know, I have to try to understand her point of view as well, especially since she doesn't.
Well, it's your daughter, Jeanette. After all, it's your daughter, and you love her and care about her, and you want her to be happy. Of course, any loving parent is going to feel that conflict here if you have biblical moral convictions. Let me ask you a question. How long ago did you get married, Jeanette?
I'm sorry, what?
How long ago did you and your husband get married?
I'm not married.
Were you ever married?
Yes, I was married many years ago, but...
Okay, when you got married, did you and your husband get married to get tax benefits?
Kind of. We got married to get insurance benefits. I wasn't a Christian then.
All right.
We got married
Okay. Yeah, because that was the last thing on my mind. And to this day, it's the last thing on my mind. The government could strip away every right or privilege that Nancy and I have as a married couple, and we'd be just as married in God's sight and one to another. So the fact is the government owes her nothing because she's in a committed relationship with someone. There's no obligation of the government or of a business to do anything special. any more than the government owes polygamous Mormons in Utah who are living as polygamists to convey benefits on them. There's no obligation to do it. There's no reason, just because people say we're committed to each other, that the government is supposed to convey benefits on them. The reason for the benefits...
If she doesn't care whether they change the definition of marriage, why is it not okay for her to be able to have insurance benefits for her partner?
Because it's not marriage. The government owes her nothing. If it's two people living together that choose not to be married, they don't get benefits. The only reason the government gets involved with marriage is because marriage has the possibility of procreation and the ability to join a kid to a mom and dad. Otherwise, it doesn't matter.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
And I do want to get to some sound bites soon, some clips from my radio debate with local gay activist Matt Comer. My only issue with Matt is that he completely misrepresents me on a regular basis, claiming that somehow the rhetoric I use is going to incite violence. And, of course, you listen to me all the time. You hear me repeatedly say the Jesus Revolution is not one of hatred, anger, violence, intimidation. It's one of love. It's one of mercy. It's one of compassion. It's one of repudiating violence and following the principles of Jesus, overcoming evil with good, hatred with love. Otherwise, I highly respect Matt as a young man. I differ with his religious beliefs. I differ with his moral values. The things he espouses, but we'll play some of those clips because he's an articulate young man, and you'll get to hear his side and my side in brief. Last Friday, as soon as the show was over, basically we were on the road and going over to a local studio of the big conservative radio station to have this discussion. So we'll play some excerpts for you. It's relevant to today's broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH online, askdrbrown.org. I also want to tell you about this issue of intimidation with People for the American Way or ACLU of Georgia against a school in Georgia, Darien, Georgia. I want to talk to you about that in a moment. But first, back to the phones. David in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call. The thought that hit my mind when you announced your topic is, though there can be an argument made that same-sex marriage doesn't affect my marriage personally, that in reality, same-sex marriage has a detrimental effect on society, and that it would affect everybody's marriage.
Oh, yes, sir. And that's a very concise and clear way of saying it. You're 100% right. You're 100% right.
I appreciate it, Dr. Brown.
Well, thank you for weighing in. That's absolutely true. If it affects society in different ways, then ultimately it does affect everyone's marriage one way or another. Now, I did a whole teaching a few years back. Are we using the Bible to sanction anti-homosexual prejudice? Are we using the Bible to sanction anti-homosexual prejudice? And I went through the argument that the Bible is used to support slavery, the Bible is used to support segregation, the Bible is used to support oppression of women. And my contention was it's misused to support all those things, but rightly used to say that homosexual practice is wrong. Reverend Dean Snyder, senior pastor, Foundry United Methodist Church, wrote an article, posted on the Huffington Post website, Young Evangelicals Are Shifting on Marriage, and basically gave this argument that young evangelicals are now reading the Bible through more open eyes, reading the Bible without certain prejudices, reading the Bible and recognizing that this is a matter of equality, and that's why their views are shifting. I reject that. Well, I believe many feel that way and believe that to be the case, but I don't see this as a positive shift towards biblical values. I see it rather as symptomatic of the young generation that has lost sight of moral absolutes, and I put that on the shoulders of parents, leaders, Christian leaders who have failed to lay out moral absolutes. There are many churches. Some would be called emergent churches. Thank God for the good in the emergent church movement, and I differ with other aspects of it, and it's multifaceted, of course. But many in the emergent church movement have what I call the celebration of ambiguity. Celebration of ambiguity. I don't know, who could know, how could I say? And the journey is more important than the destination. Yeah. So Dennis Prager has an article, townhall.com, Why Young Americans Can't Think Morally. Last week, David Brooks of the New York Times wrote a column on an academic study concerning the nearly complete lack of a moral vocabulary among most American young people. Below are some excerpts from Brooks' summary of the study of Americans aged 18 to 23, led by the eminent Notre Dame sociologist Christian Smith. Quote, Smith and company asked about the young people's moral lives, and the results are depressing. When asked to describe a moral dilemma they had faced, two-thirds of the young people either couldn't answer the question or describe problems that are not moral at all. Moral thinking didn't enter the picture, even when considering things like drunken driving, cheating in school, or cheating on a partner. The default position, which most of them came back to again and again, is that moral choices are just a matter of individual taste. Friends, that's why views are shifting among young people. Because they've lost their moral foundations. Not because they're more embracing of a biblical value of equality and tolerance, but rather because their moral foundations have shifted. Oh, maybe they don't share some bigoted views that some of their parents had that truly were bigoted. They wanted to take some gay person outside and beat them up or something horrible like that. Maybe they have gay friends and schoolmates and they're inundated by media and all that. Okay. Maybe they don't think if they sit next to a lesbian, they're going to get a sexually transmitted disease or something. Fine. But they are not more enlightened. They have just lost their moral foundations. Here, quoting again, as one put it, one young person, I guess what makes something right is how I feel about it. Oh, come on. Can I repeat that? As one put it, I guess what makes something right is how I feel about it. But different people feel different ways, so I couldn't speak on behalf of anyone else as to what's right and wrong. Oh, does that frustrate you, hearing that? Barna did a survey some years ago and said the operative word among young people as far as morality was the word whatever. Article continues, morality was once revealed, inherited, and shared, but now it's thought of as something that emerges in the privacy of your own heart. Prager says what's disconcerting about Brooks' piece is that nowhere in what is an important column does he mention the reason for this disturbing trend, namely secularism. Prager says with the death of Judeo-Christian God-based standards, people have simply substituted feelings for those standards. Millions of American young people have been raised by parents and schools with how do you feel about it? How do you feel about it? How do you feel about it? As the only guide to what they ought to do, the heart has replaced God and the Bible as a moral guide. Right on, Dennis Prager. Okay, we are going to be back. I'll tell you more about the school in Georgia. We'll be playing some audio clips for you. Take advantage of this week's special resource offer. We've been getting a great response to it, and I really look forward to hearing from folks once they get the material. Two 12-hour series that I've taught on the spiritual realm, angels, demons, and deliverance, demons and deception. How do demons infiltrate? What about deliverance? Is demon possessions that still happen today? How does it relate to Christians? And then what about spiritual warfare? We're not fighting people. Our battle's not with people. How do we actually deal with the devil? What does the word say? Thoroughly Bible-based teaching, practical and challenging to help you grow in God. We've reduced the price. It's only $20 per CD for your computer MP3 player. Cut the price in half, and we're paying the postage. So for just $20 postage paid, you'll get 24 hours of edifying, life-changing teaching. Call us today to take advantage of this. That's 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. That's 1-800-278-9978. Back with a whole lot more. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Check this out. Check this quote out. This is from a professor at Columbia University, Catherine M. Frank. She is a law professor, and she heads up the gender sexuality division there. And listen to what she says. Open lesbian. It's time sex pushed back and resisted a hygienic sexual politics that aims to cleanse homosexuality of its raunchier elaborations and demanded a legitimate presence in quasi-public places such as Twitter and Facebook, along with the more commonly understood public space of the street, the bar, or the bookstore, since same-sex marriage advocates have surrendered to, if not embraced, the heteronormativity of the private family. The public sphere may be the last refuge for sexual liberty. Oh, my. So redefining marriage as the union of two people as opposed to the union of man and woman is not enough, because that will now limit options, and that will now make heteronormativity the rule, and that will now make conservative marriage the rule. We still have to have our raunchier expressions as the LGBT community. That's what she says. But not surprising. Welcome to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. All right, I want to talk to you a little bit more about this subject of the meaning of marriage. I want to talk to you about a school coming under attack, getting bullied by the ACLU and gay activists in Georgia. And I want to take you into a radio discussion that I had last week on WBT, the large conservative station here in Charlotte. By the way, everyone listening in greater Charlotte area, we are now on 105.7 FM, a big station covering South Charlotte, so we invite you to tune in and listen. But let me just get you to the beginning of this interview debate that I did last week, immediately after my show last Friday.
I guess, just for starters here, to kind of set the table for this, we have this referendum that's coming up in May, and I guess the first place to start would be with you, Matt. How has this struck you that the state has taken this step now to put this before the voters to be able to decide what marriage is in North Carolina?
Well, first, good afternoon. Thank you for inviting us in. On the proposed constitutional amendment, I have to say that it personally really sent a sign and signal to me that there are people in this state who perhaps honestly don't want me here and don't want gay and lesbian people here. Mecklenburg County Commissioner Bill James said as much in an article to the News and Observer. Direct quote, "We don't want you here." And I think it's a sad day. The North Carolina state constitution guarantees equality of rights to all of her citizens. And this is going to be a horrible 7 months long battle that's going to put LGBT people on one side, the rest of the citizenry on the other. There's going to be a lot of hurt feelings.
I mean, look, before you respond to this, the legislation itself, you know, I guess I'd like for you to answer that question. Do you not want Matt and people like him here in the state?
I'm thrilled Matt's here. I'm thrilled others that would be, quote, like him are here in the state. If we were going out to dinner afterwards, I'd love to sit down and have a meal together. I care for them as individuals. And as a follower of Jesus, Jesus said the same blood for homosexual, heterosexual alike. We're all broken, fallen people. We need each other. We need God. So I'm glad that he is here. And Vince, as far as the amendment, it strikes me as odd that people talk about equality and tolerance and they won't allow the voters of North Carolina to vote. Let's have an equal vote. Let's be tolerant and put this on the table in discussion. And if Matt chooses to be with another man and spend his life with that man, that's between him and God. If he's not breaking the law, I'm not interfering with anything he's doing. We're not talking about getting involved in his private life, but we're saying don't tamper with the foundations of marriage. Don't redefine marriage. Don't take away the foundation that the best thing is to have a kid join with a mom and a dad and the ongoing generations that come out of it. So it's so important. I'm so glad that the bill is out there. And let's use this as an opportunity to bridge the gap and to force some conversation that wouldn't normally have, just as we're having it now.
Back with more.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I failed to introduce who the participants were in that little clip we played. The local host is Vince Coakley, who is known for strong Christian testimony in the city. The gentleman, the young man that came on before me, probably in his mid-20s, Matt Comer, who edits the local gay and lesbian newspaper called Q Notes. He's been on the air with me in the past. Again, my only difference with him is his complete misrepresentation of my position, quote, using violent language like spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare does not mean that we will go out and find people we disagree with and get them and round up an arm. No. Of course, it means the exact opposite, that we're not fighting people, that we're doing war in prayer, that we are, if we talk about doing violence to the enemy, we're talking about trying to destroy the works of the devil that are destroying people. That's biblical language. I mean, the Bible talks about being a soldier. Jesus said he came to bring a sword, meaning separation. So because we use biblical language, I probably qualify it more than any radio host in America, because I use the word revolution. I probably qualify this and explain the nonviolent principles of Jesus more than any radio host around or any author around, because I'm constantly dealing with these issues. And as a Jew, a Jewish follower of Jesus, I'm very sensitive to the question of persecution, religious persecution and oppression. Which is why things like this story really grieve me. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'll go to the phones shortly. This is from the American Civil Liberties Union Foundation of Georgia. All my friends listening all over Georgia right now, and in the greater Atlanta area in particular. This was sent September 15th. To Harold Webster, chairman of the McIntosh County Board of Education, McIntosh County Schools in Darien, Georgia. Dear Mr. Webster, the ACLU of Georgia has received reports from concerned parents regarding the McIntosh County Public School System's recent decision to restrict restroom access for a 7-year-old transgendered student within a McIntosh County school. It is our understanding that the student in question has been denied access not only to a restroom that is consistent with his gender identity, but also to a gender-neutral restroom as a possible alternative. All of you parents who have kids 6, 7, 8 years old, or can remember back to when your kids were 7, or maybe you're a young person listening, you're 15, 16, so you can remember back to being in school, being 7. 7-year-olds, they're upset because the school will not allow a boy who identifies as a girl, or vice versa, to use the bathroom of the perceived gender identity. Girls, Johnny is now Jane and will be using the bathroom with you, and just accept 7-year-olds. This is cruel. This is absolutely wrong. You say, what about the kid? Okay, the kid has needs. But you don't turn the school system upside down because of the needs of a kid. I recognize the kid has needs. I have concerns for those needs. But you don't turn everything upside down. And you said, well, you have a special bathroom. Schools are not necessarily equipped to do that, and then that singles out the kid all the more. What if he says, you know, I'm not confused anymore. Now I know I'm really a boy. Can I go back to using the boys' bathroom? You know, to me, it's like you have a kid that's deaf, so a genuine need, a genuine problem. You have a kid that's deaf, and then the deaf kid says, you know, it's not fair that everyone's talking. It makes me feel bad and left out. And the school says the whole school now has to use sign language. That's crazy. That's turning everything upside down. So ACLU of Georgia believes that schools should provide a safe and supportive environment in which all students are respected and offered an equal opportunity to learn and thrive without regard to their race, color, national origin, religion, disability, gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression. This creates a mess for other kids. This hurts kids. You think that the boy who now comes to school dressed as a girl is going to get less bullied? You think that little kids are not going to have a problem with this? What's under your dress, little boy, little girl? You know, how can you expect these kids to just accept this? And I don't think they should accept a boy coming to school dressed as a girl. Yeah, the kid has some legitimate problems and needs. Let's look more into this, how to help these kids, because kids have been helped. And kids have and do come out of these things. And adults have and do come out of these things. But by all means, you don't put pressure on the school. Gender identity, the article continues, the letter continues, is not a matter of choice, but rather a person's natural sense of being male or female, which is usually firmly established by the age of 4. And then it cites gender identity disorder. Oh, okay, I have a question here. What about other disorders? What about, and I don't say this to belittle the disorders, okay? Quite the opposite. What about someone with multiple personality disorder? What about someone who one day feels they're a boy and the other day feels they're a girl, depending on which personality is manifested? I read a book by one gentleman who had sex change surgery because he was convinced he had gender identity disorder or gender dysphoria. He was convinced he was a man in the woman's body. He had sex change surgery and then was still tormented, went back and forth for years, finally got diagnosed with having multiple personality disorder. When that got treated successfully, the wanted to be the opposite sex disappeared, and now he's married to a woman, although he can't alter the surgery that he had, which is a sad end to the story, but he's finally whole and happy and blessed and happy in his marriage. What about other disorders? We don't cater to the disorder. We try to find an environment that's in the best interest of the child. But look, there are people with what's called body identity integrity disorder. It's an actual condition where their mind map, their brain tells them that they shouldn't have a limb from the right elbow down or from the left knee down. And they're tormented. And some of them have actually figured out a way to amputate part of their limb, and now they're happy. They were suicidal. They were depressed. Now they're happy. There was even a surgeon in England. I talk about this in A Queer Thing Happened to America in the last chapter of the book. There was a surgeon in England who performed surgery on some people amputating completely healthy limbs. There was an outrage. How can you do that? How can you do that? That's wrong. Well, it made the people feel whole. It made them happy. But of course there's an outrage over it. Well, why isn't there an outrage, or as someone said, when you amputate what's between the legs as opposed to a leg? We look for a way to help the person from the inside out. And in any event, if you had someone like that in school, you don't cater to the disorder and now disrupt the rest of the school. And let me tell you something. I don't have time to read this 4-page letter here, but I'm telling you, this is an imposing letter. You talk about bullying. You talk about laying it on them and threatening. I'm not frustrated in terms of, oh, no. What are we going to do? The sky's falling. I simply am grieved over these things. There's a healthy grieving we can have. There's a healthy grieving we can have where we say, look, we need to stand up for what is right and be the Lord's people and walk in love, but set moral, godly examples for others to follow. Fellow pastors, leaders, sound clear morality from the pulpit. Don't give way to the wishy-washy, spineless Christianity of the hour. Stand strong for what's right. Be courageous and encourage your people to be courageous, full of love, full of compassion, but with spine, with backbone. 866-34-TRUTH. Ken in Denver, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how are you doing today?
You know, I should say Denver, Colorado, because there's a Denver, North Carolina, and probably some others.
Yeah, Montana, too.
Uh-huh.
My thing is, the lady called earlier said it affects the family. Well, my opinion is gay and lesbian, not all of them, became that way. And that, I don't really mean to say it that derogatorily, but chose that way because they got hurt. And that leads me on to another one. Maybe the parents did that. Maybe the grandparents did that. Maybe an uncle did whatever, and just whatever. And then it goes on into, they call it a sin. I mean, I listen to a lot of Bible programs, and they really concentrate on homosexuality. And God came to earth. Jesus came to earth to cleanse all sins, not just the pick and choose ones. So the animosity towards the gays and lesbians, that's also a sin. That's
yes,
my opinion.
Absolutely agreed. And the question of animosity, since God called me to deal with these issues some years back, the word that I received was reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. And I was first grieved over the agenda of gay activism. As the months went on, the more I read the stories, the more I interacted with those that identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, the more my heart broke for them. And whatever the cause, it's not something in the vast majority of cases people just said, okay, I think I'm just going to have same-sex attraction. Whatever we can do to get to the root of it and help people, all the better. Thank you for weighing in. Yes, Jesus died for every sin.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me take you into one more clip from last week's radio debate dialogue with local gay activist Matt Comer and Vince Coakley, the local host here on a large conservative station in the greater Charlotte area. Vince himself, for the testimony, is a committed Christian, and he did a great job of moderating. Let me just take you to the end of the interview, and it was extremely civil. My goal is always to model things, any public debate dialogue I have, not only to get our point of view out as clearly as I can and to reach out to the person I'm debating with, but to model a civil way of doing it, to model a gracious way of doing it. And Matt, to his credit, was equally civil and gracious. I did challenge him afterwards about where I feel he is misrepresenting me in terms of my position and my views, almost to incite negative feeling against us. But that's his position. We pray blessing on him. So let me just take you to the end of our interview.
And our continuing conversation here, we are talking with Matt Comer, who is with Q-Notes, also Dr. Michael Brown from Fire School of Ministry, about the issue of homosexuality, also the issue coming up next year about the definition of marriage. What is that here in North Carolina? That's going to come to a vote in May. And I guess a good ending place here in the last 2 minutes we have left. There's a strong sense of polarization here in the sense that the gay community is saying, hey, we want the right to be able to marry, especially Christian community saying, you know, we disagree with that strongly. Do you see a middle ground place somewhere that this can come to and come to a place of resolution without having actual marriage, Matt?
I think that we have found in certain jurisdictions across the country places where the word marriage is not used. And it leads to further discrimination. We have had this battle in our country for hundreds of years of people wanting, we can sum it up quickly. We're just saying separate but equal. We've had this battle before. We've had this misunderstanding that we can create separate classes and the classes still be separate. The fact that they are separate means that they are inherently unequal, because if they were equal, they would be one. So no, I don't see a middle ground. I think when our Declaration of Independence wrote that all men and women are created equal, it meant it, point blank.
Yeah, and of course, with all respect to Matt, you certainly don't mean that, because you're not fighting for the rights of, say, a pedophile. You're not fighting for the rights of others whose behavior you consider abusive. And of course, I make that distinction that we're both fighting against those kinds of things. The issue is, it's not marriage. For two men or two women to come together, it's not marriage. We don't say we now pronounce you husband and husband. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for the way we've been created and brought together. So it's not a civil right issue. And as far as our past history, we've abused the scripture to oppress people. There's not a negative word in the Bible about being black or white. That's something that we impose. There's not a negative word in the Bible say about women as creation. There are many positive things said about women. We've misused the Bible to oppress women. We've misused the Bible to oppress blacks and others. We're rightly using the Bible to say we differ with homosexual behavior and God has a better way. That being said, I'm committed in the midst of our disagreement to build as many bridges as possible, to sit down, to show genuine love as a human being, saying we're not going to redefine marriage, but I care for you as a person nonetheless.
A civil dialogue, you hear the points laid out, nothing to add to either side there.
But we need to be able to answer the question, and in here in North Carolina, where we'll be voting on this, thankfully, in May, we need to be able to say, why is marriage the union of a man and woman? Again, my simplest answer as to why there shouldn't be same-sex marriage is because it's not marriage. Go to our website, askdrbrown.org, and you can just, if it's not on the homepage, just search for my debate with Professor Eric Small from April of this year at University of Central Florida on same-sex marriage, should it be legal? Okay, this is going to sound like a total change of subject with only a few minutes left in the broadcast, but it's not. High school cheerleaders told to clean up uniforms deemed too skimpy. Cheerleaders' uniforms are sparking controversy from California to Florida as schools wrestle over whether to set higher standards for outfits some have deemed too skimpy. A California high school is ordering members of its cheerleading squad to cover up their uniforms during school hours in an attempt to crack down on clothing considered risque, the San Jose Mercury News reports. Principal Tracy William of San Jose's Piedmont Hills High School reportedly ruled that the cheerleaders must cover up with sweatpants if they want to wear the skirts in class. Williams said of the skirts, pockets are hanging out, cheeks are hanging out, we don't want them bending over. Some students aren't happy about the new standards, wearing their cheerleading uniform, quote, shows that we're a team just like the other sports. Michelle Thomas, a varsity cheerleader at Leesburg, told the Orlando Sentinel. Another, we're just sad and hurt. It's our school colors and spirit, and they're making us feel like outcasts. Okay, well, I'm sorry that the girls feel like that. They want to be enthusiastic about what they're doing, but I mean, if the things are risque, why are they wearing them in a game anyhow? But that's another subject. That's just our culture. But I agree. I absolutely agree that the school should do this, that they should say, hey, we have a standard. But isn't it amazing that California schools can do that? But if a boy came to school wearing a dress or made up as a girl, that they couldn't do anything because they're not allowed to discriminate based on gender identity or gender expression, and it'd have to cause some like certain level of disruption to even talk about doing something with that student. And even then, they'd be called homophobic if they did, and violating the civil rights of the student. And yet, aren't they violating the civil rights of these girls? You see the incredible double standard? You see how far this thing goes? You see the moral insanity that certainly rises? Something to think about, huh? Something to think about. Let's just be determined, regardless of what the rest of society does. And if we feel like the world is losing its mind, hey, the world has always lost its mind. The world hates Jesus. What's it going to do to us? I was looking at some things I've been called recently. I said, well, praise the Lord. Because it was done, I was called this for doing what was right and speaking the truth in love. I thought, well, Jesus said if the head of the house is called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his own household? Praise the Lord. Yeah, good, good. I'm being associated with Jesus and being attacked, maligned, slandered for doing good. Let's do good. Let's do what's right. And if the world is going crazy, as it always is because it doesn't know God, let's be a voice, all of us, of moral sanity, of spiritual clarity, of love and truth. Let's just look, everybody living it out wherever we are, that's going to make the difference. Together, we are making a difference. Okay, very important that we understand the spiritual realm. Very important that we understand spiritual warfare. Very important we understand that there's a reality of a devil, demons. Not to focus on these things rather than Jesus, but to understand how this works. So a wonderful resource offer we have, getting a great response already from our listeners. 24 hours of teaching at half price plus postage paid. So you're saving well over $20, and you're just paying $20 for over 24 hours of teaching on two CDs for your computer MP3 player on angels, demons, and deliverance. Where does deception come from? How do demons infiltrate? What about deliverance? What about demon possession? How do we do battle with the devil? What's the armor of God? Tremendous life-changing teaching. Call us at 1-800-278-9978 to order. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, the world is lost. The world is in darkness. The world is confused. The world is enslaved. The world is upside down. No surprise there. Let's walk as children of light, children of liberty, children of freedom. Let's be free and set the captives free.